need you to do is find the email that was sent to you with your CIS web login information. Okay, CIS web login information, because we're going to use that now. Are you finding it? What date was it sent out? 9/2. Okay, so if you can't find it, look around 9/2, because I think they all went out at the same time.
The personal emails or our school email?
Whatever you told the school, that you knew the school email. Sometimes they send it to a personal one, and I can't figure out what the criteria is, but usually it goes to the Bristol one. Okay, so has everybody found it or no? Around September 2nd, it should have come out, and it should say CIS whatever in the top. I probably have a list at home that they send me, so I can probably, if you send me a name, I can figure it out. Okay. Okay. If you can't find it, then you're going to have to just look on with the person next to you and then try it after you have found it. Okay, first of all, if you go into CIS software, and then we want WinSCP. Okay, so we're going to click on WinSCP in CIS software. And this is what comes up. Now, what I'm finding is that different people are seeing different things. I've already logged in, so it's guessing who I am. You haven't logged in, so it's not going to guess who you are. I'm assuming. For the host, you are going to put in what I have here. CISweb.bristolcc.edu. Now, if you look at the handouts that I posted, on some of the handouts, I wrote bristol.mass.edu, because that's the way it used to be. We're now changing bristol.mass to bristolcc. So you should use cisweb.bristolcc.edu. That's the host. That's the server that you're using. You're going to use that server. Okay, so you type that in. Under username, you put your username, and your username has two numbers after it. Mine doesn't. Yours may say save there, or it may say edit there. So basically, I regret to tell you, you're going to have to kind of wing it to make this work. But eventually it will. If you have a save there, you click on the save and edit comes up. If you start out with edit, then you don't have to click on the save. Okay? And unfortunately, that's kind of the way it's working. Over here under password, you can try to type it in. But some people are able to, some people aren't. So what you do, if you can't type it in, or if you can, you type it in and then hit login. If you can't type there, then just hit login. Either way, you're going to hit login. So I am hitting login. And then I hit continue with the next thing that comes up. And now it's asking for my password. So if you were able to get your password in at the beginning, then it's happened. But if not, it's asking for your password now. So I am going to type in my password. Okay, and I typed in my password. And then I'm hitting OK. And I really don't like the changes they made to this. What should come up, I want you to see, is public underscore HTML. I see lots of things. You should be seeing public underscore HTML. If you're seeing that, it worked. Okay? So, try it. Try getting in. Eric and I are here to help. Okay, Eric, you got something in the slide.
Pardon
me? Yeah, if you could. You can't even log in.
No. I use the password again. I don't know
okay.
I use the text.
Okay, did you hit CIS was? Okay, get on.
I was on the.
Okay. Nope, that's still right. I don't know how you got there. But get out. And let's try all over again. Close down 90% of what you're doing.
4%
of the email account. Keep that one. Okay, I'll keep going out. I want to be back to the main screen. So just click the, no, I want to be back, okay, I want to be back to the login screen. Okay, let's try it together. Okay, so I'm going to get out of here and we're going to go back in. So I go over here. This is the screen I want you to start out with. So if you click on the little thing over here, the last thing on the bottom line, it brings up this home screen. I want you to be on this screen, the home screen. Click on CIS software. And then click on WinSCP. And that's what you should see. So click on CIS software and then WinSCP. Okay, you guys okay?
Yeah.
Okay. When you get here, leave the SFTP alone. That's a secure protocol. Leave the port number alone. For the host name, you need cisweb.bristolcc.edu. If it came up automatically, that's fine. If it didn't, type it in. You gotta type in cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And then type in your username. E. Grossa. For me, whatever for you. Right. Oh, you need, yes. You're right. I said E. Grossa because that's my automatic response. You're right. So type in your username, whatever your username is. E. Grossa for me, whatever it is for you. Now what we have found is that some of you probably can type in a password, others can't. So we'll assume you can't. You can't type in the username. Okay, there you are. Now you're all set. Okay, now why is it? Okay, well, that's enough. Okay. That works too. And then continue and then ask for a password. So, if you are having problems, try hitting edit. And that will let you log in stuff. So if you don't, hit edit. Okay. And then if you have save, you go back. Essentially, you want to be here. And if you're having problems, try the edit. Then you're going to hit login. And that, hit continue. And that will come up with your password. So now type in your password and click OK. And you should be in. Okay. So who's not in? Okay. You got everyone? Yeah, thank you. Who else? Who else is not in? What you should be seeing is public_HTML. Don't care what else you see, but you should be seeing public_HTML. Okay, you need to be out in the way of this. Are you looking for the username?
Yeah, it's checked.
Okay, do you have a CIS web email? Yeah. You're not trying to be an Outlook. You want to get out
of
here.
Ironically, I
did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I just get this back.
There is
a right here.
Original page.
It's an
empty page. Now click on your right. CIS. Click continue. Now it wants your password again, so apparently it didn't like it. But this is your CIS web password, right?
Yes.
No, okay, I don't think
you
have the right password. It's not your login machine password. It's your CIS web, which was sent out to you on September 2nd. So you can open another window and look at your email. Or open your phone if you get your email on your phone and look for September 2nd. that's not what I... Okay, yes, I'm sorry. It is the Linux password, yes. CIS web is the Linux password. I just wasn't thinking. Do you have another one? I thought you were saying the password is the login. It's called, when they send it to you under the CIS web, it says Linux password. Okay? And that's to log into the Linux operating system. Okay. Who does not see public_HTML? Be honest, who doesn't see it?
See what?
public_HTML. Okay, everybody's got it up?
We click on it?
Huh?
We click?
Eventually. Have you got into the public? Did you find the password? Okay. Then that's probably the problem. So look on with him, or him, somebody, okay? So you can watch the thing go. If you do not have a CIS web email that gives you the Linux password, then you can get it by going to the lab, or if you send me an email, I can get it for you. But I don't have them with me, but I can get them for you because they will have sent them to me. Okay. So click on public HTML. Now I've got a bunch of stuff there. You should only have one thing that says index HTML.
Yep.
Or maybe not even that. But when you get in, you should have pretty much nothing. I happen to have a lot of stuff out there, so that's why I've got a lot. Okay, now, this is the server over here. This is CIS Web. This is the server. This gives you access to all of the drives where you might have information stored. Okay? So if you look up here where it says N, I've got access to my flash drives, I've got access to the C drive, I've got access to the N drive, I've got access to all my drives here. So if I click on the N drive, then I will see the stuff that's stored on my N drive. If I click on my E drive, I'll see what's stored there. So this is my local stuff. Although N drive is on the server, but still, this is the local stuff that I have access to. This is my CIS web server. Okay? So what I need to do is put something up onto the server. And I need to put up an HTML file. Now, if you don't have an HTML file, you can go to my website. And go in here to examples and find a page and do a view page source and steal the code. And open Notepad and paste the code into Notepad. And then save it as file, save as, and I'm saving it on the N drive as my sample .html. So I am saving it. If you have your own HTML file, you're all set. But if you don't have one, you need to go look at one of my examples, take the source code, and save it and give it a name. And I'm saving it on the N drive, but I could save it other places as well. So I'm saving it on the N drive. And this is called My Sample. So, now I'm going to go to the N drive and I'm going to look for my sample that I just saved out there. And there it is. There's my sample. So I can now just drag it up to the server. So I can just drag it over, and it's now on the server. And if I scroll down far enough, I will find it. And there it is, my sample. So I just dragged it over to the N drive. Okay, so there's my sample.html. And I dragged it over to the drive. So what I want you to do is find an HTML file and put it up on the server.
Go inside public HTML.
It has to be inside public HTML. So click on public HTML, and then you can drag something in, and then you will have something over there.
It gives us an upload option. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. It's not your computer, so yes, anyway. So now I've got it sitting over there. Now, if I had wanted to, instead of just putting it on the root, I could have made a folder. And that's what you usually do, is make folders on your hard drive. So I could have come in here and under files, and then new, and then directory. I could have made a folder. And I'll give it a folder name, CIS12012F16 is what I'm calling it. 12 or 30 class at F16, fall 16 is what I'm calling it. So I am making a folder. And I've got to paste the other stuff in here for just a second. Okay. And then I say okay. And I should now have a folder in here called CIS 150 120. Did I call it 120?
F16.
What did I call it? I found the 120.
C120F16.
Yeah, and I'm not seeing it. Oh, you know why? I did it over there. Good point. Notice that this is darker than this. So that means when I made the folder, it made it over there. What I need to make sure is that I'm making the folder on the server side, so I have to make this the dark side. And then I can go in and say files, new, directory, and make the folder. And now it is going to put it on the right side. And there it is. Okay? And I wasn't paying attention. So it was over here. And when I made the folder, I made it over on this side, which means I made it on the N drive, which is not where I wanted it. If this is the dark color, then that means that the focus is here, and when I made the folder, it went in here. So now I can go in here and click on this and open that folder, and then I can drag my sample over to that folder. So it's now in a folder, as opposed to one of a gazillion things on my drive. So I've now put it into the folder. Okay. So I now have it out on the server. Okay, so, does everybody have something up on the server that has a login at least? If you don't, please let us know. So now I want to be able to see what I've put up there. So I'm going to bring up Firefox or anything else, and I'm going to reduce its size or whatever so that I can see both of these at the same time. I want to be able to see what I put out on the server and Firefox at the same time. So now I'm typing the address in. Well, the first thing I have to put is the host. Because if you're sitting in France and you want to do this, you got to put in the host. So it knows it should go and find the webs that is CISWeb, bristolcc.edu. So it should find the Bristol information. Then you put a slash. So I have cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Now I put in my username with a tilde in front of it. And the tilde is hit the shift and it's right under the escape. The tilde is that little curly thing right under the escape. And then put in your username. And I put on my username automatically because that's what I did last. But type in your username. Okay. Now remember, I put it on up there twice. So my sample.html is in the root and it's also in a directory. Okay. Right now, I'm looking at the directory, so I'm going to do that. So I'm going to type slash and then the directory name. And then the name of my HTML page. Okay, so I've got find the host. CISWeb, bristolcc.edu. Now find my area on that machine. Now find the folder in my area. Now find my page. And if I hit enter, there's my page. Okay. So I'm finding the host, and then I'm finding my area on the host. And then I'm finding the folder in my area, and then I'm finding the name of the page. You do not include public HTML in the address. The tilde takes care of that. So public HTML is not part of the address.
So what do you put after your username?
After the username, if you made a folder, you put a forward slash in the folder name, and then forward slash in the file name. If you did not make a folder, and I put it out there twice, so if I didn't make a folder, I can just get rid of the folder name and just have it this way, and it's up there this way. Okay? So this way is actually my sample. There it is. There's my sample that's not in the folder. And so I just put this a file name in like that, and that's not in the folder.
So if you had a picture attached to it, the picture also has to be in the folder?
Yes. Okay. If you have a picture, You have to upload the image also and put it in the folder also if you're using a folder, or put it on the root also if you're using the root. But the image has to be up there or it won't be able to find the image. Okay. And the server is even more case sensitive than anything. So be very careful that you are using uppercase, lowercase consistently, because it's very case sensitive. Okay. Now, the other thing I want to mention is I have this page up here. If I right-click on it and click on Edit, I see the code, and I can make changes to the code. So if I right-click on mysample.html, there's the code, and I can make changes to the code. My advice is, if you change the code, download it so that you'll stay consistent on your local drive with the server, or you'll drive yourself nuts if you have two different versions, one on the server and one on the local drive. Okay? You've got to download it. And downloading it is simply dragging it the other way. Uploading is dragging it to the server, downloading is dragging it from the server down to whatever drive you want to put it on. Now, has everybody seen their page? You're making me very nervous because it took a lot longer in the other class. Okay. If you're not seeing your page, that's what Eric and I are here for. We want to make sure you find it, because your homework this week is to put your page up on the web. And for next Thursday, this Thursday, you have to send it to me. Next Thursday, it's going to be up on the web, and you've got to send me the address. Okay? So, it's important that you have it up there and you understand it. Okay? So, please let us know if you don't have it up on the web and didn't find the address. Please, 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 please. Okay, that means everybody knows how to put it up on the web now. And everybody knows how to get the address. Nah. Any questions? Wow. Okay, then we are done with this.
I have a question.
Good, thank you.
If I want to upload something like that at home, can I do it, or can I only upload something at school?
If you download something like WinSCP, then you can do it at home.
Okay, so I can.
But, and WinSCP is free.
So you can download that at home or whatever. And then so then I can download stuff.
That's right.
The website.
That's right.
Do it from
right. And there are other things, okay, no talking please for a minute. That means the back row. WinSCP is the version we use. There's a load of competitors that allow you to upload. I used to use one called Sheet FTP or something. But my suggestion is that you use the same one we do, because then you've got consistency between here and home. And WinSCP works beautifully, and it's compatible with here, so that if you learn how to do it one place, you know how to do it the other place. So you can download WinSCP onto your computer, and then you can upload to the server from home. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Okay. The next, that basically we're done temporarily with HTML. Okay. If you have questions, feel free to ask them, but we're, as a class, done with them for now. And we're going to move on to access. And I swear that they told me they were sticking with Access 2015, and I had a surprise in the last class when it wasn't there. So, apparently they're using Access 2016. So I told you on my website 2015 is what we're using. Apparently here we're using 2016. They are very, very similar. Because last class I tried it and it worked. So Access 2016 is very similar. I don't care what you use, but if you haven't downloaded it, I guess I'd say now go with 2016 because that's what's compatible, and I'm going to go change it at my website. So 2016 is available by going to DreamSpac, and it's also available in Office 365, but you have to download the entire suite. And Access is part of the suite, is my understanding. Okay? So you can go and download the suite. Okay. On our machine, if you type in Access down here, if you click the little globe and then type in Access, it tells you where it is. There's Access 2016. And you click on Access 2016 and open it.
Okay.
Now, what Access 2016 is, it's a database. That's what computing is really all about, is data. In fact, it used to be called data processing because you were processing data. That's the most important thing that computing does, is keeps track of data and provides data. So if you are doing payroll, you've got to keep track of your employees and what you've paid them. If you've got to do an inventory, you've got to keep track of what's on hand, what's on order. That's data. If you're playing a game, you want to keep track of scores, you want to keep track of levels, you want to keep track of all of that stuff. That's data. So you're keeping track of data in almost any computing thing that you do. So a database is the way that most data is stored. Big data is stored in something slightly different now, but most data is stored in a database. And if you look at your chapter one in your book, they will use some of the vocabulary that I'm using, and we'll get to chapter one either Thursday or next Tuesday. So, what we're doing is we have got a database and we're going to establish it. So it says, I want a blank desktop database. So click once and it comes up and tells me, here is where I can give my database a name. So I'm going to call it CIS 120 12 F16. Okay? And then it says, okay, where do you want to store it? And that's the default. That's not where I want to store it. I'm going to store it on my F drive. So I'm going to browse, and I'm going to find my F drive, and I'm going to store it there. Okay, so it's now on my F drive. Or will be as soon as I hit create. Okay? So as soon as I hit create, it's going to be on my F drive. Everybody with me? Yeah.
So we would create it on our N drives?
I hope so. I hope it works. I would, in all honesty, I'd bring a flash drive. They think they may have fixed the N drive, but I'm not sure yet. So, good luck. The other thing is that once you've created it, you can send it to yourself as an attachment. So if you want it, you can, before you leave here, just send it to yourself in an email, and then you'll have a copy of it. Okay? Or you can put it on your flash drive. And I would bring a flash drive.
Hopefully the end drive is working, but I'm not making any promises. So now I'm hitting create, and it creates
the work area for the database. Okay, I don't want to use this particular structure. So
I am going to go over here where it has that little arrow over kind of underneath file, and I'm going to pick design view. And then I'm going to put it on the smart board notes. Okay. It comes back and says this is table name, and I'm going to call it student. Okay. So I click OK, and it sets up a table with the table name of student.
Okay. So here it is under tables. It is now saying that a table means student. Now what I'm going to do is I am going to describe the data. They are giving me a place to do it. They say, here you can put the name of a field, and here you can put the type of data it is.
The name of the field I'm going to change to ID number, and the type of data I'm also going to change, because auto number means it will do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I don't think that's very practical. So I'm clicking on that arrow and I'm picking short text. Now short text allows me to use letters and numbers combination.
Now, I'm probably only going to use numbers, but short text lets me use letters or numbers. Down here, it tells me field size, 255.
There is no way I'm making an ID that's 255 characters long. Okay? So I'm going to change this to 5, which means I can have up to 5 characters.
I don't have to have 5, I can have up to 5 characters.
Okay. So that is my first field. Notice there is a key that they put there.
And if it wasn't there, I could have clicked on primary key up here.
Key being there means this field must be unique. And that's what you want with an ID number. You want a unique key. You want a unique ID number. No two students have the same ID number. Okay, so that means that if I type in your ID number, I'm going to get your record. Okay, I don't want to type in your ID number and get 5 choices for your record. I want to get your record. And so ID number, by specifying that it is a primary key, I will not be allowed to put in 2 records with the same ID number. And that's what I want. Then I can move down and make a second field. And I'm going to call that Stu Name. And I'm going to also make that short text. And I'm going to change that to 50 characters. Because I think 50 characters is a reasonable size for a name. Then I am going to come down and put in a major. And I'm going to make major also a short text. And I'm going to make that 2 characters. Okay. Then I'm going to make a GPA. And that's going to be a number. So I'm picking number there. Now down here, it gives me an automatic default of it's a long integer. But that's not what I want. So I am going to go down there and pick single. Single is a small decimal. And GPA is a small decimal since the max is 4.0. Okay? So I'm picking single. So this tells that it's a number and it is of the type single. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you put a number as a number instead of single for a short
text? I could have. By putting in a short text, I can include letters in it. The other reason is that I tend to only put numbers in things that I think I may use mathematically. And so I denumber, I made a short text from that point of view too. But I could have just as easily made it a number, and if I did, I would have chosen integer. Okay. And now I'm going to pick a field called number of courses, so NOCRS for number of courses. And I'm going to make that a number as well, and I'm going to make that one just plain integer. Okay, long integer, I can't remember where the break is, but it's something on the order of 64,000. And you know, nobody's going to take 64,000 courses. So I can make that just a plain integer. Okay, so what I've got here is I have set up a lot of fields. And now I'm done setting up the fields. Those fields describe a record. So I am going to say that those five fields together are a record. And I'm going to put data into those five fields and put a variety of records out on the table in just a minute. So I've got fields, these five fields make a record. Once I put data in, a bunch of records will make the student table. And a database can have multiple tables in it. So a database can have multiple tables, the table can have multiple records, and the records has multiple fields. Okay? Okay, good. Now, again, I have said in the past, Microsoft did the worst thing it ever did by allowing embedded spaces. So Microsoft lets you have embedded spaces, I don't. So I don't want any embedded spaces in these names. I don't want you to write student space name. I don't want any embedded spaces. If you feel compelled to put something in there, use an underscore or use camel case. Camel case would be, I would change that N to capital N because it's a new word. And I changed the C to capital C because it's a new word. And so you can use camel case, you can use underscore, but no embedded spaces. And the reason I say that is even though Access allows it, other databases don't. Oracle doesn't allow it, MySQL doesn't allow it, other databases do not allow it. So you might as well just get in the habit of databases should not have names with embedded spaces, field names with embedded spaces, or table names with embedded spaces. Okay? So here is my view. Now, over here under File, if I click on Data Sheet View, Data Sheet View says you must save the table now. So I say, yes, I'll save it. And then it comes up with this layout that lets me put in data. Now, in fact, over here under File, if you click that kind of gray area, it's a toggle. So it goes back and forth between structure and data. So there's structure, there's data. There's structure, there's data. It's a toggle that goes back and forth. So I'm going to put in my IDs now. And I can have a 3-character ID, which I did in the last class, or I can have a 5-character ID, because I specified up to 5, or I can have a 4-character, or whatever. my name is going to be John Doe. He's a CI major. He's got a GPA of 3.5, and he's taken 10 courses. Then I will have 1-2-1-2-1, and that will be Susan Ash, and she is also a CI major, and her GPA is 3.7, and she's taken 15 courses. Okay? And you can put in the same data that I'm putting in, or you can put in different data. Yeah.
For some reason, I can't change what was the first field.
Did you leave it as auto number?
Why do I change that?
You go back to the structure and change it.
If you left it as auto number, then it takes care of putting the numbers in. So go back to the structure by putting it there. Yeah. And yes, you've got auto number, so click next to auto number. And scroll down, and I put short text. And now you'll be able to do it.
Yeah, I was wondering how I get to that.
Click on, good question. Come over here and click on that. No, that's not.
So now, that's strange. Get rid of that one because that's not there. And if you click on data sheet view, click on the eye. And then the data sheet view. I'm going to save the table first. The text you entered isn't an item number. Say okay and see what it does for you. Okay. For some reason, it's not complete. We don't have something there. I guess they don't have it. And then you're going to have to pick something, so pick short text and just put AA over there or something, and we'll get a little bit eventually. Okay. So now, okay, you need to start typing in the ID number like I did and override those, and I don't know why I dropped them over.
Work
11111 and then John Doe. You can only have 5 of them if you need 5 characters. I think you got 6. I think you still got 6. And then put in the name. Eric,
yes.
There's somebody back here.
John Doe.
Yeah, I can back with John Doe. It doesn't matter what you put.
I made it a number and I made it single. And then maybe you want to CI there. See how I got CI there? And then GPA, yeah, right. And then GPA. You want to put number of courses, okay, rounded that up. So that means on your type, if you come back over here. Under GPA, the number you have is a matching number. And you want to come over here and change that to single. So it will allow you to put in, and now toggle back. So just click that. That's fine. Toggle back. Just put that back. And so now I'll try making 2.5 or something. That should work now. And then number of courses, put in some number there. Just ignore the A field. And you can go back and delete that eventually.
Thank you.
people down here who then live long and they're there and they've got comments. They're really kind of they're real long and they're there.
I need to put in a few more records. Okay, so I've got a bunch of records now, and those records make up a table. So right now my table has four records on it. That should have been BU, I meant to write, actually not BY. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't have the same data as I do. But for our testing purposes, you should have one person that's not a BU major, not a CI major, and you should have a variety of numbers so that we can test those things. But it doesn't really matter what you have. It's more that you need variety. Okay. So now I've got four records. So my table has got four records in it. And typically, the table is going to have thousands of records in it. The unique ID lets me access each record individually. So if I try to see a particular record I want, I can access it individually with a unique ID. So that's why the unique ID has to be there. So now we're going to move on, and we are going to do a query. So I'm going to click on the X over here in the corner. On the same line with the word student, there's an X, and that closes it down. If I want to see it again, I can click on student, and there, click on right-click and get design view, and then go back and forth with my toggle between design and data. Okay, so now what I want to do is, I might have 100,000 records out here, I might have 20,000. I want to be able to access the data according to some criteria. For example, I might want to see all of the CI majors. I might want to see everybody that has a GPA greater than 3. I might want to see combination of CI majors with a GPA greater than 3. So I have a lot of possibilities. So what I'm going to do is say create. So up in the top row right next to home, I'm going to say create. And then after I click create, I'm going to pick query design. And click on query design. Okay? So, when I click on create and query design, the first thing it does is it comes up and asks me what tables I want to use. Well, I only have one table. And it's got that one highlighted because its guess is that I want to use that table. So when I click on add, it will add that table. And then I can close this down. Now, when I added the table,
It has my ID number, my student name, my major, my GPA, and my number of courses. Those are my fields. Down below, it is going to show my report. So I want to see my ID so I can drag it down. And then I can drag down the name. Okay? I can also click on that and come down here, and I've got an arrow that I can click on to get major. Okay? So I've got all of those, and those have my field names after the word field. You see the field names, and after the word table, you see the table name. Okay, so I have my field names and my table name. So this is a structure of a query that I might want to do. If I come over here to my toggle and click on view, I see the results, and it just shows it to me like a report. If I toggle back, I see the layout, and if I toggle forward, I see the data. So this showed me all of my records. My four records are all there. So, with my four records, I can decide that I want to save this. It says, do you want to save changes? Yes. And I'm going to call it basic query. And click OK. And now it's showing me over here on the side that I have a table named student, and I also have a query named basic query. Okay, so it's showing me that. And if I double click on basic, well, right click and say open, then I see my query. And an X, and I close it. So now I want to see only CI majors. So I'm going to do a create, query design, add student, bring down the fields. If I double click on them, I bring them down too, sometimes. If not, I drag them. These could be in any order. I didn't have to do them in the same order. Major could have been the first thing. It doesn't matter the order. Now my criteria is that I want the CI major. And when I use text data, it has to be in quotes. So I put quote, CI quote. So what I'm saying there is my the intersection of criteria and major is where I'm putting the CI. So my criteria is I want majors that are CI majors. And since it's text that I'm putting in there, characters, I put it in quotes. When I come to compare with a number, I don't put it in quotes if I describe the field as a number. Okay, so if I describe the field as a number, then I don't put the thing I'm checking for in quotes. If I describe it as short text, I put it in quotes. So now I'm going to look at this result. So I come over here to view, right under file, and I click on it. And now I'm only seeing the CI majors. So I had a BU major out there, and I'm not seeing the BU major. I'm only seeing the CI majors. Okay. And so I can save this. Do you want to save it? Yes. And I'm going to call it CI majors. And save it. And now I've got two queries. Okay. What I'd like you to do now is create a query
with a GPA greater than 3. So go in and set up a query. If you've been doing this along with me, set up a query for a GPA greater than 3, and you use the greater than sign to indicate greater. On this one, I am going to reverse 2 things just to show you that you can and bring down number of courses before I bring down the GPA.
What did you put in the criteria?
I want the criteria of greater than 3. I haven't done it yet.
For the previous one.
I put CI under major and on the line, criteria line under major. So where am I going to put the greater than 3?
Under criteria.
Along on the criteria line under GPA. So I'm putting greater than 3. So that's telling me that I want only students that have a GPA greater than 3. Okay. And if I view this, there they are. There are the students that have a GPA greater than 3. 2 of my students had GPAs of 2 point something. 2 of them had 3 point something. They're showing up. Okay? And if I want to save this, I click on the X. Do you want to save it? Yes. And I'm going to call it greater than 3. And say okay. And now I have 3 different queries. So at any point, I can bring them up. Now, the interesting thing about these queries is that it saves the structure that I created. But if I go back and add 10 more records to my table, and I run the query, those 10 records will be included in the output if they meet the criteria. So in other words, I can keep updating the table and the query will keep working. The query doesn't just come up with the answer once. It reruns every time to make sure it's looking at the current table. Okay. That's it. Thursday, I need you to have sent me an email saying you've taken the survey. And I need you to send me your HTML page along with an image. Okay? And those are due Thursdays by midnight. Okay? Midnight is the cutoff time of being on time. So they're due Thursday by midnight. Okay. I'm done.
Okay. What did you do? No, I missed what you entered in the query for CI major.
Take a look. It's there.
I see the greater than 3.
Pardon me?
I see the greater than 3.
After he finishes staring at this one, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
No, was that...